Thanks, David. Statue 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Okay, so there's much been made of the former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich and whether or not his sentence will be commuted by the President of the United States, who on Air Force One the other day suggested that he was strongly considering it. He backtracked a little bit on Twitter, telling people that he was going to, many people have asked him to study this, and he's going to see what he can do. But I think the story here for Chicagoans and for those who paid attention to the trial is trying to remember everything about it, because you hear when the president is talking about, you know, he was treated unfairly or this sentence was way too long, you start to question, well, maybe he's right, or I don't remember much about the details, but my next guest does. Jeff Cohen was an investigative reporter who covered the Blagojevich trial. He's also the co-author of the book Golden, How Rod Blagojevich Talked Himself Out of the Governor's Office and Into Prison. He continues to work. His fine work can be seen in the Chicago Tribune, including today, where he wrote the piece Sorting Truth from Myth in Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich's Conviction, Five Things to Know. Jeff, great to see you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much.
Friday night, too. I appreciate that.
You know, what else am I going to do?
I was going to say, life must be humming for you about now. Right? Let's get to it. Well, were you surprised? Because this is not the first time that the president has kind of bantied this about. But were you surprised that this week it came up?
Yeah, I think it caught everybody by surprise, because it was last year, the last time Trump did this. It's been a year plus, actually, since the last time. And, you know, the cynics out there would say, maybe he's using this just as a distraction. Maybe it's no accident that he was coming back from El Paso and it was on Air Force One and some of the, you know, publicity around that trip wasn't going well. And so he throws a new shiny object in front of the press and everybody jumps on it. That's possible.
It's possible. But for you to see, I mean, because there have been a number of appeals. You've seen Patty Blagojevich being a pundit, if you will, on Fox News and talking about this. So it is something that obviously over the last couple of years continues to pop up. It's not like he's just sitting in prison and forgotten about. The Blagojevich saga continues to be on at least, if not front page news.
Right. Well, he had just about run out all of his legal options the last time this happened. And you're correct that I think that one caught people even more off guard. Trump just kind of came out with that he thought that, you know, Rod had been treated unfairly and that maybe, you know, it was time to revisit that. And at the time, you know, as you recall, he was under a little bit more jeopardy because the Mueller investigation was still going, and he had kind of conflated this into, oh, it's the same guys who are picking on Rod that are picking on me now. And people thought maybe he was using it as a way to stick his thumb in their eye, to the point where none of the clemency paperwork was even filed at that point. You know, his lawyer scrambled after that to put that in.
Yeah, right.
But you're right. I mean, Patty kind of launched her own publicity campaign, went, you know, not surprisingly, right to Fox News, and, you know, as many times as she could, was, you know, hailing Trump as, you know, the wisest president in the history of the United States, who would certainly make the right decision about her husband.
Pretty savvy.
Right, sure.
Yeah, I mean if you're going to do it.
I mean, everybody knows, you know, she comes from a political family here and is certainly street smart, and I'm sure can, you know, maybe run circles around a lot of people in Washington these
and
days.
You can get all of, you know, the Illinois Republicans and some of the Republican delegation and Mayor Lightfoot, Governor Pritzker, who shows up on some of those Blagojevich tapes at the time, everybody weighing in on everything. But I want to go back because I thought it was interesting that a couple of lines on Air Force One and a couple of tweets seemed to reshape the narrative of this trial. And it seems like we're kind of backtracking and people are forgetting about what actually went down. So let's start. The one thing, and it's the first question you tackle in your piece today, is really about the 14-year sentence and whether or not that was unusual or too much for this case.
Yeah, I think in a vacuum, you know, that's something that a lot of people bring up, because 14 years just feels long. And in the federal system, you have to serve 85%. So for Rod, that means he's not supposed to get out even still until May 2024. So it just feels long, you know, and that's without question, you know, even in some of the recent public corruption cases that we've seen here,
right,
that's longer than average. And George Ryan, who was the, you know, governor right before Rod, got 6.5 years for the, you know, licenses for bribes scandal.
Which actually you could see correlate into people actually getting hurt and killed because the family was crashed on the expressway. But anyway, yeah.
So it just feels long, and people, you know, I don't think that Rod was necessarily on the surface an unlikable guy. I think he was, you know, seen as a Chicago character, and he did the, you know, the late night TV show circuit, and people were entertained by him, and they know that he has a family that includes a couple of, you know, younger daughters, and nobody wants to see, you know, anybody kind of deal with that, especially when, you know, in a lot of people's minds, he wasn't some master criminal or, you know, wasn't responsible for killing anyone.
And, right.
You know, what are we really doing here if we have Rod Blagojevich locked up this long?
So, right.
It's a natural question.
So, but when you're thinking about what went down in the courtroom to get this kind of sentence, what went into it? Why 14 years?
Well, if you remember in 2008, when he was charged and then he was indicted in 2009, especially the indictment, I think was really shocking at the time. He was basically accused of running the entire government of the state of Illinois as a criminal racket. I mean, that's the extent of the language that was in there. So when you start looking at what he was accused of doing, I mean, the sentence that he got was within the guidelines that, you know, the federal system uses. Actually, prosecutors, after he was convicted, sought 15 to 20 years from this judge, and he actually, you know, came in under what the government wanted, which I think, you know, by and large, if you were to look at the averages, is probably unusual. I mean, most of the time, mm-hmm. judges, you know, tend to line up
right
with where the government goes.
But that is a striking way to think about this and reshape this narrative, that the prosecution accused Rod Blagojevich of running a criminal racketeering ring out.
Yeah.
As the state of Illinois. I mean, that's crazy to think about.
I mean, the indictment used language like the Blagojevich Enterprise, which basically was state government. And that the case grew out of something called Operation Board Games, which it's probably been 10 years since people heard that term. But basically, Blagojevich operators, people like Tony Rezko, had figured out ways to plant not even just loyalists, but people who would literally do whatever they were told. And put them in place in some of these boards and commissions. And when you do that and you have a majority that will do whatever you want, you can be out in the street saying to people who want things like investment money from the teacher's retirement system, if you give this amount or you pay this amount, you will get this amount of funds from the teacher's retirement system. And it was millions of dollars at the time, and it meant hundreds of thousands of dollars in fake finder's fees for these guys.
It's amazing, too, and obviously it's hard not to think about what's happening right now at the federal government level and some of the investigations that are going into, and even the president who says some of these things straight up, saying, I want yes people in boards and especially in judge seats. But let's talk about the issue, and the second question you kind of pose about this. You'll hear people who support Blagojevich and support the president wanting to compute the sentence that all he was doing was talking. He was just talking. You got him on tape talking, but he never actually did anything.
Right, which is a defense that kind of resonates with Blagojevich, because let's face it, it's true. I mean, we've all seen him on TV and heard him on radio, and all he does is talk. That is accurate. But there were a couple of key moments where they felt like his intent was revealed, you know, a couple of tapes. The way you speak on a, you know, wiretap is much different than you would speak on the radio.
Right.
And so there are a couple of things that they thought really provided a window into what he wanted to do. So a lot of his alleged, you know, plans and plots from his view were really political. He was trying to work a deal where, you know, maybe he would appoint Lisa Madigan to the Senate seat in exchange for that. You know, Michael Madigan would push his agenda through Springfield. That's more political horse trading. You know, you probably don't get charged if that's what you're trying to do. But you start trying to do things like bring in more than $1 million in campaign funds, you know, campaign contributions to appoint somebody like Jesse Jackson, and you send your brother to meet with the right people who are offering that kind of money to prosecutors. That was a step to try to bring in something for yourself, a benefit for yourself. Or you try to, you know, bargain with the new Obama administration at that time and try to get an ambassadorship for yourself, or he wanted to be, you know, he wanted to run Health and Human Services at the time, something like that. That's a paying job.
Right.
So that's money to you in exchange for an exercise of your political power.
And I want to take a break, but before we do that, the other thing as well is people say, well, he never actually pocketed any money, right? The money was never exchanged. This was just him talking. Is that true?
That is also true. I mean, a lot of these deals were not consummated. However, you know, people have to remember, especially the first trial, I think it was emphasized a little bit more. They had a key advisor named Lon Monk on the stand, and he actually testified that Blagojevich himself, Lon Monk, Tony Rezko, and Chris Kelly, who was another fundraiser and advisor, had kind of agreed amongst themselves that especially Rezko would work some of the things that they had going. They would make a lot of money on the side. They would put it in an account that nobody knew about, and then when Rod got out of office, they would split this up. And, you know, Rod allegedly agreed with that. Blagojevich denies that and denies that ever happened. But, you know, Monk had some pretty specific memories about it, described, you know, Rezko actually pulling out an easel at one point right. and drawing some of this stuff up. He remembered that they were at the Beverly Hilton in California, you know, for one of these meetings. So he had some specific memories about it.
Jeff Cohn's my guest, investigative reporter over at the Chicago Tribune, wrote a piece today about the Blagojevich sentence and what you need to know, the differences between truth and myth when it comes to this. He's also the co-author of Golden, How Rod Blagojevich Talked Himself Out of the Governor's Office and Into Prison. Take a quick break. Continue with Jeff Cohn right after. So stay with us. Statute 720 rolling along here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Jeff Cohen's in studio. Jeff, of course, the co-author of Golden, How Rod Blagojevich Talked Himself Out of the Governor's Office and Into Prison, along with his cohort John Chase. Both, Jeff is a great investigative reporter at the Chicago Tribune. Is John still with the Trib?
He's with the BGA.
The BGA, right. But another great reporter as well. You guys covered the trial and you wrote a piece today kind of separating myth and the truth when it comes to Blagojevich's conviction. You know, and you ask all these questions, you kind of go into it. The next question is really just about playing politics. And we hear this all the time. Trump kind of talked about this too. You know, what he's guilty of is this is what politicians do. Not me, but politicians do this. Is that part of this? I mean, that was kind of his argument, that this is just what politics is, horse trading and going back and forth.
Yeah, and you know, in Chicago, you're probably not wrong. I mean, that is kind of the sport around here. It's hard to argue that that's not true. And we've seen many, you know, public corruption cases since Rod Blagojevich. That's exactly right. But that goes back probably to the Madigan point. I mean, prosecutors certainly said, you know, that they could see where maybe that could be a fake out. That whole idea was that U.S. senators at the time did not want Jesse Jackson Jr. to be in the U.S. Senate.
Why? What was it? They just didn't like him?
Yeah, I think they thought he was a little bit
unpredictable. Because he was a rising star at that time.
He was a rising star at that time. But, you know, the Harry Reids of the world, I think, were interested at that time in not having him in, you know, for whatever their reasons were. And, of course, he wound up having his own, you know, criminal problems.
But he was a central figure in this case because he was the one that Blagojevich wanted to trade with and actually listened. And that's where his brother went to talk with his crew and the whole bit.
Yeah, so some representatives of Jesse Jackson Jr. came to the Blagojevich camp and said,
"How about us?"
Through the brother. Actually, it's a funny story. They were talking about, you know, what could they offer in terms of campaign contributions to the Blagojeviches. And one of their reps held up, you know, one finger on one hand and five in the other, which Robert Blagojevich took as $1.5 million. Turns out the guy meant six, so they kind of...
He meant
undersold themselves, but you know, whatever. So you leave this 4.5 on the table. But there at the end again, when you know Rod sends his brother to those guys at the time where he was telling the jury that he was really wanting to do the Madigan deal. You know, that looks a little bit different to everybody's eyes.
It is interesting because you feel, and I'll have texters that'll text in and they'll say, "Come on, you know everybody does this. He just got caught." And that's the question, I think, that is at the central part of how long this sentence was. This is, feels like, come on, all right. So, you know what? He was horse trading and he got caught doing it. He should have got a slap on the wrist as opposed to 15 years in jail.
Well, and the key becomes, what do we tolerate as far as people using their public office to self-deal and enrich themselves? I mean, we've seen cases recently among, you know, aldermen going back over the last several years, where it seems like, you know, they'll do something like set up a zoning situation for a developer and they'll, you know, pocket just a few $1,000s and they'll wind up over at 219 South Dearborn, just like Rod Blagojevich did. We're talking about much bigger sums with Rod. And I'm not saying, you know, I think the sentence is fair or not, you know, for me personally, but that's just kind of the perspective to remember, because when Donald Trump is on Air Force One and just says, you know, I think he's been treated unfairly, that sets off all kinds of water cooler talk, you know, across the city as far as, well, you know, is it fair or not? And it, you're right, it's hard to remember some of the details of what was.
For you as a reporter who covered this and then wrote the book on it and everything about it, do you agree with the president when he says, I think he was treated unfairly?
You know, part of what we wanted to do with the book, for example, was to look at the Blagojevich argument of play all the tapes. You remember that from his defense. He was, you know, he gave press conferences saying, if only everybody could hear all the tapes, I think that, you know, they would see a different side of this. So, you know, myself and John Chase, when we prepared this book, you know, part of it was to put it on library shelves in Illinois, set it aside for the kids of the future when they had to do a book report or whatever on Ron Blagojevich, you know, God help them, that there would be some kind of a chronicling by journalists who were here at the time where people could say, who was this guy? What was this about? So we sought to get all of the tapes, even the ones that were not released publicly. And we did that. And we went through them. We went through, you know, hundreds of recordings.
Does his argument hold up? Play all the tapes?
Well, we did not find a home run for Ron Blagojevich. I think the strategy of that was that they wanted the jury to hear many dozens of tapes of Rod Blagojevich not shaking people down for campaign contributions, not self-dealing for the Senate seat. But the judge actually said, you know, Mr. Blagojevich's lawyers, you realize that you cannot, you know, argue that there were 72 times your client went into the bank and didn't rob it.
It was
only the 73rd time. So I think that's, you know, a decent argument.
Okay, so at the end of the day, and I think it's interesting because the president, of course, has had his own struggles with the Justice Department, the FBI, and a lot of that went again. And regardless, let's just put the special prosecution aside with Russia. You also see a lot of proposed investigations into him trying to profit off of his office. There are similar storylines than what we see what happened to Rod Blagojevich. Do you think that plays a role in why the president is interested in this case?
I think it does. And you have to remember that Trump knows Rod Blagojevich. He was on The Apprentice, the show. And I think he probably sees a lot of himself in Blagojevich. Some of the, you know, to be honest, style over substance or the showmanship, the media manipulation that goes on. I think, you know, Rod Blagojevich is a character that Trump probably gets. And the fact that Patty's been out there flattering him, I think, you know, that's, is Trump immune to flattery? I don't think
and so. No. And it is interesting, too, because Blagojevich did a Trump-like experience when he was on trial. He was on Letterman. He wanted to talk for himself. He was always trying to get a microphone to talk. He seemed to almost do the Trump playbook before Trump did it himself.
Yeah, it's kind of a primitive version of the Trump messaging system. At the time, I mean, Twitter was obviously existed, but it wasn't kind of the machine that it is now that kind of drives the political conversation in America. So if you can imagine the Rod Blagojevich case at the time, if it were now,
could
what that
you
would
imagine?
Look like.
So if, yeah, he would just be on Twitter all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So his defense strategy was, let's turn this guy into a celebrity. They were thinking about R. Kelly and people like that. You know, are there ways to, it's a higher standard sort of to get a conviction of a celebrity. So they pushed him out there. Mm. And they also felt like so much of the case was about what was going on in Rod's head and his intent when he was on these calls, that who better to explain what he meant than Rod Blagojevich. So they threw him out there on all the late night TV shows. They thought he was likable enough and funny that people, you know, the potential juror pool would like him, and that would be a way to get their side of it out. And it's Trump now just, you know, talks directly to us every morning when you check your phone.
Well, if you want to go back into history, if you've got a book report or something to do, you can check out the book Golden, How Rod Blagojevich Talked Himself Out of the Governor's Office and Into Prison. One of the co-writers is here, Jeff Cohen. He's an investigative reporter from the Trib. Wrote about sort of sorting truth from myth today in the Chicago Tribune. Jeff, great to see you. Thanks for coming and setting the record.
It's Friday night. People could do it.